Praise the Lord again. How many of you feel victory in the house tonight? How many of you know we serve a victorious God? You know, every now and then I just like preaching a message that's just about God and about God's glory, God's victories. How many of you in for, how many are you going to preach with me tonight? There's a phrase that has its point of origin back some years ago in the boxing world. And as two opponents would line up to face each other in the ring, the announcer would come out and he would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm geared up tonight." Can we all do that? "Ladies and gentlemen, yes, tonight's bout is a 15-round contest, 2 minutes per round, and we have the tail of the tape." How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? He would continue to go on and give the weight and the height and the reach of each opponent, while in the stands, the fans would jump to their feet and shout out as loud as they could for their favorite boxer. I've watched a few of those UFC fights, you know, where they put the two guys in the round cage and they have 3 5-minute rounds. And I love to hear that gentleman. I think his name is Bruce Buffer, as he comes out and he says, "Tonight's tale of the tape." And he goes on and he introduces the boxers and the fighters. And I was thinking the other day, if I had the opportunity, if I had the chance of a lifetime to be able to take and introduce my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if I could give the tail of the tape for Jesus Christ, just how would I do it? If I had the pleasure of announcing tonight the tail of the tape, if I had the honor to announce this one epic battle for the souls of all humanity, winner takes all fight, how would I do it? Let me just tell you tonight, church, this, if given the opportunity, is how I would do it. Are you with me tonight? You may not think that it's just right, but this is how I would do it. You can do it however you would want to do it. But I would like to, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce to you a man that needs no introduction. His credits are far too long to mention. He has done the impossible time and time again. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem of Judea, by way of heaven itself, weighing in with the weight of all the sins of the world on his shoulders. His spirit spans the universe, and the creator of the universe, his power fills all of the universe. In the beginning, he says, "Let there be light," and there was light. He is the author of the most popular book that has ever been written in the history of mankind. It has been on the bestsellers list for thousands of years. His family, his mother, is still the most important popular woman ever to walk on the face of the earth. And he holds the record for the world's largest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry men and women with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This man can walk on water and he can turn water into wine. He is the ruler of the universe. He's the king of all empires. He is hailed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 22:13 says, "He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is the bright and morning star." Some say He's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Some call him Savior. He's the Wonderful. He's a Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He's the Father of the Bride. He is my Master. He is my living water. He is the light of the world. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the chief cornerstone. He is my Creator. He is eternal life. He is faithful and he is true. He was the firstborn over all of creation. He is the great I Am. He is King Eternal. He is King of Kings. He is King of the Ages. He is the light of the world. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the living one. He is the living stone. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of all glory. He is the mediator of the new covenant. He is the mighty God. He is the morning star. He is the offspring of David. He's the only begotten Son of God. He is our holiness. He is our husband. He is our protection. He is my redemption. He is my righteousness. He is the righteous one. And he is my rock. He's the ruler of God's creation. He's the ruler of all kings of the earth. He is our Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the mediator. He's the stone that the builders rejected. He's the true light. He's the true vine. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the word. And above all, most important of all, he is my salvation. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, rise to your feet, and give a loud shout out to the one and only Jesus Christ of Nazareth! I ask you tonight, church, I ask you tonight, are you ready to rumble? Yes! Are we ready, church? We have an opponent. We have an opponent. And we have to introduce our opponent. Yes, I would give him an introduction, a much deserved introduction, a truthful introduction. Although he thinks he is the most powerful and most omnipotent, in reality, our opponent can only be in one place at one time. He preys on the weakness of humanity, and due to the fact that he's always been and never has had a victory against Jesus Christ, he has an axe to grind. And humanity is at the point of that axe. Since the dawn of time, he's desired to defeat the ruling and reigning champ of the universe, yet without success. You see, folks, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, this is an epic battle. These two have fought before. Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness after a 40-day fast, and he tempted him. He challenged him, and Jesus said, "Get thee behind thee," in 3 verses of scripture, and yet hand Satan another defeat. You see, Satan's greatest skill, his greatest trick, is nothing more than a simple lie. It is the only move he has in his book. forth is lies and deceptions. He is a liar and he is the father of all lies. He's lying to you right now because he simply cannot be truthful. And I challenge you, stop listening to his lies. Stop listening. He spent much of his known career fighting lesser opponents such as you and I because he's been licked far too many times by Jesus Christ. He has been beaten. He's forever been beaten. He's forever been cast down. That's our opponents. You see, you can follow his record by following the path of destruction, by following the pain that he leaves behind and the lives that he's destroyed. But you see, you can follow the record of Jesus Christ. You see, with Jesus, we could go into the Gospels and we could read of the many victories of Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 8 where Jesus healed the leper. In Matthew chapter 9, two blind men could not see. A man who could not speak came to Jesus and he healed the blinded eyes and he caused the tongue to talk. Jesus in chapter 12, he healed the man with the withered hand. In Mark 7, he heals the ears of a deaf boy. In John chapter 11, he declares to the world that I and I alone, I am the resurrection. And I am the life, and he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. The 10 lepers were healed in Luke 17, and we could go on and on. But I feel the most important miracle that has ever done, ever created, ever poured out upon humanity by Jesus Christ was the shedding of his own blood. You see, and as a result of the shedding of his blood, we have salvation. And salvation was his greatest victory. It was on a cross that Satan thought he had defeated Jesus Christ. Yet it was Jesus Christ's greatest victory. It was while Jesus was hanging from a tree, nailed to that tree. Blood was flowing to the ground in his most vulnerable state. He pulls off the greatest submission move ever to be pulled off by all humanity. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Nailed to a cross, he defeated the enemy. What a victory. What a miracle. But you see, you can't make it to heaven without the miracle of salvation. The minute that trumpet sounds, it's all left behind. Your sickness is left behind. Your sorrow is left behind. Your pain is left behind. Your suffering is left behind. All of that is left behind. Salvation is the most important miracle that Jesus Christ could ever give to humanity. I'm proud of my father. I'm proud of my name. Grant, it got me out of a lot of trouble over the years at church camp and at preaching things and all of this stuff. Got me out of a few scrapes. But I want to tell you one thing. It was not the name of Grant that saved my soul. Hear what I'm saying tonight. It was the name of Jesus Christ. My father, he could have saved my life, but he couldn't save my soul. It was Jesus Christ who saved my soul. It was Jesus who name I called on. You can call on a lot of names tonight, but there's only one name. So if you need a miracle in your life, there's only one name to call on. It wouldn't happen if you called out the name of Buddha. It won't happen if you call out the name Muhammad. It won't happen if you call out some other name, but you gotta call out the name of Jesus. And with the name of Jesus, there's power. Philippians 2, 10 and 11 says, at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When you call out the name in heaven, angels veil their faces. When you call out the name on earth, men bow down before his presence and rejoice. When you call out the name in hell, Satan and the demons begin to tremble because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No matter who you are, I don't care if you're freedom from religion. I don't care if you're the president of nations. I don't care if you're Wiccan, an African witch doctor. You will bow. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. He is Lord over my spirit. He's Lord over my soul. He's so much Lord that he can take this worthless, no good, vile sinner and wash him in his blood, and I come out spotless, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah! Praise God! Thank God for saving me! He's so much Lord tonight. He can take every sickness. He can take every disease. And when I call out his name, when I take and call out his name, one injection of the penetrating healing medicine of the precious blood as I walk healed by the power of God. He is so much Lord. He's Lord over my bills that I'm not able to pay. David said, I'm going to trust him like David did. I have been young, for now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I was on my way to a devil's hell, but Jesus Christ came in and saved my soul. You got to understand one thing tonight, that Jesus Christ, he came into a sinful world, but he lived a sinless life. He committed no sin. I believe in his sinless life. I believe in his virgin birth. I read in the book of John, and when I read the book of John, I can read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They talk to him and introduce him as a little baby, but when John starts out in the book of John, in John 1:1, he just introduces Jesus like no other disciple. He says, in the beginning, before I was here, before you were here, before this universe was here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and you and I here, we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father full of grace and truth. When John looked at him, he didn't see Mary's baby. He saw God manifested in the flesh. When he walked in Galilee, he saw God walking in Galilee. When he touched the blinded eyes, he saw God touching the blinded eyes. When he walked on water, he saw God walking on water. When he calmed the storm, he heard God's voice calm the storm. When a deaf man was healed, he heard God talking. When he called Lazarus out of the tomb, he heard God calling. And when he fed the 5,000, it was God breaking the bread. When he was preaching, it was God preaching. Then finally one day, they condemned him to death. And 1 Peter 2:22, and he who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, they hung him on a cross. And they said, why are you allowing this to be done? No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power. I have the power. I have the authority. I have the power and the authority to lay down my life. And then I have the power and the authority to pick my life
up again. He said, no man hath the power to take it from me, but I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down and the power to pick it up again. And when I see him hanging on the cross and the nails in his hands and nails in his feet and thorns in his head and a spear driven to his side, heaven wasn't ready for him. The earth didn't want him. And the hell, they didn't know what to do with him. But I hear the voice of some 700 years earlier, the old prophet Isaiah saying, he was born out of griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. Understand that tonight. I want to build some faith in your life, and by his stripes, because of those stripes he took on his back, we are healed. The next verse is a pivotal, central verse in the Bible. It said he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was a lamb, and the word lamb is a central word in the Bible. He was led to the slaughter as a sheep before his shear is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And he died. And I can see our opponent as they begin to celebrate their first victory against Jesus Christ. He wasn't in a coma. He wasn't in some form of some suspended animation. He wasn't faking it, because justice demanded that a penalty had to be paid. And he was laid. It was paid by a perfect lamb. A spotless lamb had to die. We read in Revelation 5:12 as John, the last living disciple, the only disciple to die of natural causes of old age, exiled in the Isle of Patmos. He says, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And a search went out to see who was worthy to open the book. Heaven was searched, and there was no man worthy to open the book. The earth was searched, and there was no man worthy to open the book. They went down into the depths of hell and couldn't find anyone who was worthy to open the book and release the seals thereof. But as a lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, he stepped out to offer the altar and in burnt altars, offerings and sacrifices. He says, I have no pleasure. Prepare me a body, and I will go down and redeem a man. And he was hung up on a cross for all of our hang-ups. And as he died, the moon turned to blood and the sun was blackened. And the earth quaked as if in great sorrow. Took him and they placed him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, power came out of the earth. The power that said, let there be light, and there was light. The power that said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The power that says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth and in hell. He took off his grave shroud. He looked up and declared, all power is in my hands. But it doesn't stop there. After he arose from the dead, he ascended up on high. And he's returning back to this earth for his children. And on that great day, Scripture tells us the trumpet shall sound, and he will call home those who have repented of their sins, those who have been baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ and have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, those that have received the power of the Holy Ghost to call home a faithful and a spotless bride and a holy bride. Scripture tells us that he will declare, "He that is holy, let him be holy still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still." Understand tonight that there is a reality in God. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And if you keep the faith and loose your shackles, if you keep the faith, he will heal your family situations. If you keep the faith, we'll receive our just rewards. So tonight, as you stand to your feet and our praise team comes, Isaiah 6, 1 through 3 tells us, "I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple." The thing I love about this verse of Scripture is they're not talking about a choo-choo train that runs down the tracks. They're talking about as kings would go into battle and they would have victories against their opponents. They would take the king's colors that they defeated in battle and they would sew them onto their train or their robe. And I, king, my king, your king, he has so many victories! So you want to know his record. You want to know the tale of the tape. The tale of the tape tells me he is high and he is lifted up and his train fills the temple. Given the opportunity, that's how I would introduce my Jesus. Perhaps tonight you've never been introduced to this man. As our altar team comes, we're going to start singing about victory. I know some of you need victory in your lives. Some of you need victory in your checkbooks. Some of you need a healing. I want to challenge you tonight. Come up to the front. I want you to claim your victory. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to borrow for it. You don't have to pay for it. All you got to do is ask my Savior, and he will give it to you. He gives freely to whosoever asks of him. There's no gimmick. There's nothing for sale. It's all free. All it cost was his blood. All it cost was his blood. And all it's going to cost is your life devoted to him. You need victory tonight? Come on up to the front. You need a healing tonight? Come on up. Don't be shocked.